Alrighty, we are set and ready to roll for our Media Bids Power Hour educational program. Let me just confirm. Jed, are you with us?
I am.
Beautiful. Great to hear your voice, and thank you so much. I know we have a lot that we're going to be covering here today, talking about 12 winning ad sales strategies. As all of you are getting settled in, as you're beginning to listening to this educational program, you're going to hear tools, strategies, resources, and tips that we're going to be giving you that it will help you in the sale of your advertising. Everything that we've ever done since the launch of Power Hour in 1995 is about just those things. In addition, the work that we've been doing together with Media Bids going all the way back to the summer of 2006, there is a wealth of resources, and you're going to be hearing more about Media Bids and our words of encouragement to go to their site to learn more about the work that they're doing and positively be working together with them. As you're getting settled in, all that we ask you to do is simply print off the three key points. The more notes you take, the more that we're going to transfer the knowledge to you. This is going to be a very fast-paced program. Each of the 12 points, just so you know, could go on to become an entire hour-long program. And there's a lot of meat around that. And these are the kinds of things also, for those of you that are here today listening, are also part of our Tuesday Advertising Sales Academy. So just know that there's a lot here. Some of what we cover will be at 30,000 feet strategically. Some will be more tactically at 30 feet. And in between, you'll be hearing back and forth from myself and Jed. Jed, how about some opening words about Media Bids? What's cooking in your world? Introduction to the group. Let's roll. Tell us.
All right, great. So, first of all, I want to thank Ernest. You know, he brings an enormous amount of knowledge to these calls. I always learn a lot, and I really appreciate all the time and effort that he puts into preparation and just making these teleseminars well worth the hour investment. I am the president of Media Bids. We've been around for 13 years now. We are devoted to driving revenue to publications, primarily for their print products, but we also do, supply ads for banners as well as, you know, many other mediums. We are primarily dealing with national advertisers. So right now we're kind of gearing up for the holidays with many of the advertisers that are focusing on print for the Christmas and holiday season. So, we would love to talk to you. If you're not currently using Media Bids, we'd love to explain to you how it works and some of the options available to you. It doesn't cost anything to use Media Bids as a publication. We are entirely compensated only when we are successfully selling ads for you. So, let us know if we can explain more about Media Bids, and if you're currently using us and would like to talk more about, you know, how to make it work better or get more out of it, we're always here. So please give us a call and contact us by email, and we look forward to hearing from you.
All right, very good. And Jed, it's always a pleasure working together in all the work that we do. Thank you for the support from you and from those on your team. And we encourage all of you to go take a look at the Media Bids website, and you'll learn lots more about what they do. We realize many of you already work with them, and you know the wonderful support and revenue that they create. My name is Ernest Orienti. Our company is Power Hour, launched back in 1995. I've been in media and advertising sales since the mid-80s. I love ad sales, and this is what we do. Today, we work with more than 2,000 publishing teams and their groups in 11 time zones around the world. There's a universal language to what we do, whether we're talking about selling ads in print, in e-newsletters, or bundling it into our website, all of the above. It's all part of the media and mediums that we make available. And we've got a lot of ground that we're going to cover here today. The core of what we do is ad sales. We work with ad sales teams and the leaders that are guiding those teams. We are experts on LinkedIn. I was one of the first 500, going all the way back to the early days of LinkedIn. Today, we run 19 LinkedIn groups with 77,000 leaders. That's an annualized footprint of 28 million. And we're one of the top 200 groups of 1.8 million across the LinkedIn space. We've also created Wikipedia in our sector. So if you want to know what's happening in LinkedIn, what we believe is the single greatest sales and marketing tool that we've ever seen in our 30-plus years in this space, ping us, chat with us, and we'll show you the things that we're doing. There is a wealth of opportunity. We also host a Power Hour Advertising Sales Academy. It happens every Tuesday. Same time every Tuesday, we meet and we work on a particular topic. Take what we're going to cover today. There's 12 topics. These will literally tie in to what we'll be covering over the next 12 weeks. Okay, so each of these could be hour-long programs. Each of these are week snippets that we work inside of these to give you the step-by-steps. Today, we're going to fly in and out. We've got a lot of ground to cover. And, Jen, I just thought we'd kick it off a little bit with a little pulse, you know, as we kind of look out over the next 3 to 6 months, maybe a little thought about ad sales trends and what we're seeing and so forth. Give us a little pulse as you're kind of looking into the upcoming year.
Well, you know, the trends that you read about and a lot of the data that you see coming out now about publications and sort of projected ad spends, you know, show print is being down. However, you know, a lot of the publications that we work with are doing pretty well. The publications that are sort of being hit the hardest are the larger kind of metro dailies, and many of the small publications have had a pretty good 2013. You know, in some sectors, specialty publications are expected to increase by, you know, 4 or 5% in 2013 over 2012, you know, and that's expected to continue on into 2014. You know, 5% isn't exactly setting the world on fire, but it reverses sort of a long-standing trend that's been going on for the past 5 or 6 years. You know, I think that publications have a lot of work to do, and I think that there's many ways that that publications can increase revenue and can become, you know, and make 2014 a better year than 2013. But it requires some out of the box thinking, and it requires some, you know, changing of some old habits. We often sort of talk to publications who want to proceed and want to operate in exactly the same way that they did, you know, 5 years ago or 10 years ago or in some cases 50 years ago. And while that would be a lot of fun, the unfortunately advertisers have changed, you know, and so as advertisers change, the medium has to evolve, and the way that publications approach advertisers, and the way that they talk to them, and the way that they the way that they ultimately sell to them, you know, really has to change with it. So, you know, we're optimistic about 2014. You know, here at MediaBids, we continue to grow. And we see a lot of potential, but it requires some thinking about sort of the basic premises of sales, you know, slightly differently.
I love your capsule. We're seeing the same thing, that we're actually seeing some of the reports behind the scenes that talk about print and actually increases from this year over last year, increases being forecasted into, for example, those that are selling into sectors like builders, automotive, realtors and real estate. Very interesting trends. By far, print is alive and vibrant. No doubt we're having to do more than ever before. We're having to weave in and bundle the online component of this. We're having to work harder because we have more competitors than ever before. But we want you all to know that we are very very positive about the forecast as we go forward, and then the other economic trends that overlay this, realizing that we have those around the world that are joining us and throughout North America. Each of you have your own local economy, if that's your market. Each of you have your own sector economy, depending on the sector or the industries that you're selling into. But the overall trends is that high water will raise all boats, and that is absolutely a good sign. So we are very encouraged by that. Today we're going to be talking about 12 winning ad strategies. Okay, and we're going to cover them together, and thank you so much for all of you that sent questions, because we're going to work and weave them in. We're going to talk about the point. We're going to field a couple questions that came in. We'll take your questions as well, so just simply send a reply to the confirmation that brought you here, or send an email to ernest@powerhour.com, and then we will just bring them in, and if we don't field them here, we'll field them afterward. But Jed, there were a truckload of questions, and I'm very excited to be working and weaving them into today. Recognize that, as I shared earlier, that each of these 12 could go on to become entire one-hour programs. There's so much here, okay? And then there's slices inside. So we're going to give you sort of the best of the best. Some will be strategic at 30,000 feet. Some will be tactical at 30 feet, okay? Recognize that each of these, when done correctly and done at the very best level, can create 5 or 10 times the impact in your organization, okay? So these are really sort of the best of the best. Also recognize that whenever you come to a program like we are presenting here today, one of three things will happen. Number one, you're going to get new ideas which will expand your thinking. That's our goal. Number two, if you've already heard it or done it, or you already are doing it, beautiful, high five. It just confirms that you're honoring best practices. Or number three, when we step back and we're not working in our business and we're working strategically on our business, like all of you that are here today participating with us, other serendipitous things will come up, and we love that as well. So look for those three things. Also recognize that we win in ad sales. And in terms of our selling strategy, so we win in terms of the training and the work that we do in terms of ad sales. We also win because we're well positioned in terms of the USP. We position ourselves well within the minds of those that buy from us and our readers, and we also win when we do the right things behind the scenes. So that's what you're going to hear, some of the 12 points related to teams and training and tools and resources, some related to our marketing and branding, others are related to how we measure and track the performance of the results. So Jed, having said that as an introduction, I'm going to go ahead and start to work our way through the 12 points. I actually have a bonus 13 point, and then we'll leave in the questions that that came in. So we have a baker's dozen, if you know what I mean.
Great.
All right, very good. Here we go. Number one, okay, and many of you asked about this, we must hire and train. We must recruit, hire, and train the very best. If you want beautiful sculpture, you must have great clay. There is no substitute for that, okay? And just in a capsule, it comes from those who have either been in our space and sell for competitors, or have been in print or ad sales, or have been in the sector that we sell to. That's as close as we can possibly get to the bullseye, and that's an important part when we think about those that we're recruiting and those that we're hiring. Now, that doesn't slide us into the training just yet. All it says is that if we want to be on top of the bullseye, someone who's sold ads and who's worked selling advertising in and out to the automotive sector is spot on, right? Or someone who sold ads, maybe not to the automotive, maybe they sold to the medical, but we'll teach them the automotive. Or they're in the automotive and we'll teach them ad sales. Those are the three winning combinations of strategy number one, okay? Now, there were some questions related to this. Questions related to this were, is there a, here we go. A quick question was, for my team, suggestions or recommendations on a good CRM program for tracking and sales and follow-up. So we're going to hire and recruit the very best. We're going to fold them in and train, and we'll talk some more about this. And then, yes, we do need good CRM tools. Nowadays, I mean, frankly, from ACT to Goldmine, scale up to Salesforce, we do not lack. Go roll the clock back 10 or 15 or 20 years. If you weren't a major printer, advertising sales team, you just didn't have access to it. Today, I mean, honestly, what you get, Jed, for less than $100 sort of blows my mind in terms of the technology. So I don't think we lack at all for good sales CRM tools. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, it's pretty amazing some of the stuff that's out there. And it's, you know, even some of these programs that integrate CRM with ad scheduling and accounting, and it's, you know, you can get about as exotic as you want to get. You know, there's many of those software packages that are available.
Absolutely. And so back to the hiring and training of a team, there are 9 specific steps. If any of you would like to see those steps, just send me a quick email. More than happy to share that. There's 9 specific steps. Skip none of them. You must do all of those to have the very best in the recruitment and then also the hiring, and then as you fold them into the team. And we'll talk about training here in just a minute. Point number 2 that we must just be so spot on, our distribution, our CERC, and the visibility of our website. So when we talk about distribution and CERC, we realize we have those of you that have paid CERC, right? Those of you that have controlled CERC that's mailed, those of you that have free pickup on the other side, availability at the free racks by the exit doors and newsstands and other forms of pickup. We realize we have that whole piece, but you have to be the very, very best, and your story has to be at or above the level of those you're competing with. Now, clearly, we're talking at this moment about the print side, right? But then if we go to the e-newsletter, we have the same process. How many readers to our e-newsletter this week, this month, compared to 90 days ago, compared to this time last year? Is it growing? Is it going forward or going backward? Then we move to our website. The same thing. What's happening with our site? With the volume and the velocity of what's happening? How long are people spending on the site? Where are they clicking? What forms are they filling out? All those pieces relate to our electronic distribution and circulation, and that is a yardstick, and that is a statistic worthy of putting on a dashboard, putting up on your big boards, keeping track of, because it's the health and wealth of your entire advertising mediums, and it also tells us what's separate and unique. When you're sitting down to give a sales presentation and you're walking through your ad store, you have to pause and say, what do I bring separate and unique? What do I bring special? What gives me the right to say to that advertiser, I am the number one source. I am the top source, and these are the reasons why. And when you can say that, you walk in and out of every meeting with the goal and the focus of closing 100% of those. And if you can't and you don't have that confidence, then you're on your heels, never a fun place to be. Jed, observations about CERC and distribution.
You know, I think that, you know, obviously this has been a challenge for a lot of publications. And I think that, you know, I think that it's very often, you know, sort of a cop-out to say that circulation and distribution has shrunk because of what's available on the Internet. I think that the publications that concentrate on their content and do a good job with it, their circulation and their distribution are holding tight. I think that for many publications, it's a shrinking circulation and distribution really means that, you know, you've got to reevaluate whether you're providing something that the readers are want. You know, it seems like a simple thing, but ultimately, you know, your publication is only successful if the readers are engaged. And, you know, I'm not sure that enough publications worry about that.
Mm-hmm. So let's weave in a couple of questions. We have one question: how important is social media in advertising and in print publications? And the comment is twofold. One, depending on what your goal is, it drives search engine optimization, meaning it drives visibility, which means it drives traffic to your site. Another one of those dashboard numbers, what goes up on the board, What are the key terms and phrases? How are we competing against those who are our direct competitors? How visible are we directly relates to the volume of visitors and thus the traffic. We also had another question, and another point related to that. The other side of social media is that it engages our readers, which benefits our advertisers. We become such a go-to source. So, for example, I subscribe to print Wired magazine in print, which I love, and read it cover to cover, which then draws me back into their website. But then I also get their newsletter each day on the other side, and it serves me wonderfully as it goes back and forth between the print and in the newsletter. The fact is, I'm going to spend more time on the print. By the time I get it electronically, I may click, I may move around, I may do a little something, but I'm moving pretty quickly when I see electronically, different than when I see something on the print side. Remember, for those of you that are working on the B2C side, your social media channel is on the Facebook side. For those of you on the B2B side, it's LinkedIn. Two distinct audiences, and the messages and the messaging is very different as you're moving between those two. Okay, so number 2 of 12 are distribution and CERC. Number 3, our editorial. Our editorial goes back to the very same point. Now, and again, realizing we have those of you that have lots of editorial, some of it that's some that is written internally versus externally. We have some of you that are just ads, okay, more directory sort of formats, and it's clearly the editorial piece. Your editorial is the quality of the ads that you're putting in your specialty or niched or niche publications. But editorial, for those of you that this is an important part of that message, has to be. And we've done, Jed, I know, just 100%, just one-hour programs just on the power of editorial and how to be our very best. But our editorial must, again, match our USP. What is it we're sharing in terms of our editorial? Is it part of our media kit, meaning those who are guiding our editorial? Is it part of our USP and our media kit and in our sales presentations, the importance or what sets us apart? Is it because we go more in depth? Is it because we have more people accessing? Is it because the way that we arrange and format? What is it that we're bringing separate and unique? If we just pause and say, wow, isn't it great? You know, we're working in the forestry sector and we have great forestry editorial. Okay, next page, let's get back to the sales stuff. If that's all that we're doing on the editorial, we're missing a huge opportunity. Jed, your comments on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I sort of go back to, you know, what I said, and I kind of jumped the gun in my point. Sorry about that. I just think that it's something that publications need to evaluate all the time, you know, and to always be thinking about, you know, what they can do to make themselves as relevant and as entertaining and as informative as they possibly can. I mean, it seems like an obvious thing to say, but it's there are many publications out there that we deal with, and we're dealing with, you know, with thousands of them. There's many of them who, you know, for whom, you know, a decreasing readership is oftentimes just sort of you know the fact that there's the information is more available online is kind of used as an excuse. And I think that publications that are doing it well are you know, continue to see strong circulations.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we did have a question related to this as well. I'll weave this one in because the question about, you know, how, you know, are there any, what is, are there, is there value or creative approaches to special sections and advertise to make advertising attractive? The answer is yes. Sometimes it's special issues that are focused on particular topic areas. Sometimes there are special sections inside of the publications as well. We like that approach. It does well. Readers respond well, and advertisers respond well. The only thing that we want to say in general, and most of you probably been down this path, is you get all of this hype because you're doing this month the landscaping section, but where do those advertisers go for the rest of the year, right? That's the challenge with that. And that's been a very big topic in our academy. As we're working on a weekly basis with those on that particular topic, there's a lot of opportunity there. Jed, let's talk about point number 4, And we've been sort of alluding to this piece about training. Point number four, when we talk about the 12 winning strategies for advertising sales success, there is no shortcut for training our team. Whether it's training on a weekly basis, role-playing, the sharing of good tools, the innovative new ideas, things that you might direct mail, things that you want to send by email, something you want to post in LinkedIn or Facebook. There are a wealth of ways, while we can agree that there's lots of mediums to utilize, that we have got to continue to train our team so they understand the power of what's out there and then how to press the piano keys to make the music so that they can drive the very best in ad sales. But coming back to the training part, training is just like a blade on a mower or a kitchen knife. If we use it over time, it gets dull. If we don't sharpen it, it gets rusty and it does not work as effectively. I'm a passionate believer in weekly training, and it doesn't have to be anything more than let's take 15 minutes and let's just handle the role play, your price is too much. Let's take the next role play next week, which is, hey, you don't have the readership, or I'm not getting the ad results, or I'm choosing another source. The part about ad sales is that we have to continually and consistently continue to train and continue to expand our thinking. The other part is that training also means that we go through our media kit. Now, it's our belief that there are 15 key sections inside of the very best in media kits. And the media kit is a constantly evolving and improving part of your world as it relates to what advertisers are asking for and or what you're learning about competitors in the marketplace. So your media kit also becomes, take page one of your media kit, and that is the sales training for this week. And you might pause and go, yeah, but, you know, all of our team – you know, got initial training. Yes, that's true. But there's always a way to continue to look at each and every page in your media kit and be able to squeeze a little bit more juice, to talk about the kind of objections that come up when you're on page six of your media kit, to talk about when you get to page eight, why that page needs to be improved or needs a bar chart or needs a graph. Those are the kinds of things that go into the 15 best components of a powerful media kit. And if any of you would like to have that list of those 15 things, just send me a quick email and I'd be more than happy to shoot that over to you. So Jed, we have a real passion for this piece related to training and giving sales reps every tool they could possibly need.
Right. I mean, it's, you know, and if you think about it, you know, I mean, so much has changed, you know, just in the last, you know, year or so. You know, I mean, it's you know, 2 years ago, probably all of your customers were talking about, you know, Groupon, right? And now you don't hear about Groupon nearly as much. You know, it just keeps evolving, and the competition, you know, has sort of, you know, has become, you know, more and more varied. So, you know, media kits need to reflect that.
Yep, absolutely. And we have a question on this one that says, how to overcome no. And for the participant who sent that in, the part about no, I'm not going to advertise, or no, we're not going forward now, there's a component about, and Jed, in our weekly sales academy, we talk about living in the no and staying in the no. And what that means is that a no means, number one, no right now. It means no, I either don't have enough information, or no, you haven't shared enough compelling information for me to make a decision right now. Staying in the no means I want to know what else is still on their mind. No means no because, frankly, your story is not compelling, and I'd like to know which part of it is. Staying in the no means no, I'm not ready just yet. Great, because I want to understand what the yet means. Or no, you're not in the budget. Great, let me understand what that means. We want to stay in the no. From the moment we get a no, the longer we stay in the no and the more that we learn about why it's no right now, the better the chances that the no becomes a yes. And so we do a lot of coaching and training around this part. So several of you asked about this piece about overcoming no. We believe that's when the selling begins. And we believe there's an opportunity to stay and be in that no until you are either A, given the information that will help you be a better advertising salesperson, or B, the no actually converts into a yes. Okay, so I'm hoping that that's helpful for you related to that piece. Point number five, your sales KPIs. key performance indicators. Point number five, if we're talking about winning ad strategies, if we're talking about being the absolute very best, there's a couple of indicators that each of you at a sales level want to know and keep track. And those of you who are with us at the sales leadership level or the ownership or the executive level, these KPIs are absolute drivers. There's many, many more. But the most important ones are very straightforward, which include the number of presentations being given, the percent that we're closing of those, and the reasons why they didn't close. Those three KPIs. Now, make no mistake, there's many, many more points. But for the purpose of today, we're just boiling it down to those three. Number of presentations has to do with the volume of opportunity to get face-to-face or phone-to-phone or Skype-to-Skype or whatever that means. We used to say, Jed, in the early days, belly-to-belly, you know,
right.
Just face-to-face. And all that means is that, you know, the velocity of those. And we noticed was a reoccurring theme. The top sales performers had the most presentations. Gee, what a concept. Okay?
Right.
The percent of closing has to do, and by the way, if you take a look at your team, you'll see there's this bell curve that you'll have 10% that are all the way out here outrunning everyone for presentations, 10% on the low side, they need to be terminated, and then the rest in the middle. And those in the middle, the question is, how do we get you from 8 presentations to 12 and move you down the bell curve towards the top 10%? It's a very easy barometer, and it has to do with activity. It has to do with smart prospecting. It has to do with focused work on those opportunities, because you can absolutely alter the needle on that KPI. The closing and success factor is very simple. When given the opportunity to sell and tell our story, are you well-trained to present? Are you showcasing our best USPs? There comes the training part. And can you negotiate, field objections, overcome those, stay in the no, and take that no into a yes? That's what you really get paid for. That's what we get paid for. That's the other side. Anyone can give a presentation. I can give a presentation, Jed, right now to the brick wall in my office. But no one's buying.
Right.
Jed, your take on sales KPIs, given all the years that you've been in and around.
I think, you know, we'll get into it in further points, but, you know, I think a big part of closing a sale is preparation. And I think that, you know, having data associated with your sales presentation is, you know, ends up being, you know, really probably the most important factor. You know, I have found, and I know that this is probably not universally true, but I have found with the advertisers that we deal with here that that they've changed quite a bit. You know, it's a little bit less now about relationships and a lot more about results. You know, if the online world has taught advertisers anything, it's that, you know, results can be measured and results can be, you know, and therefore advertising budgets can be tailored to what's working. And so to the extent that, you know, that your presentation and the reasons why you didn't close, you know, factor into that, I think that what you would find in today's day and age is that bell curve also follows the amount of information that's being presented about the specific industry that the advertiser is involved with, and, you know, and some expectation of results. But at least, again, you know, it's not a universal truth, I don't think, because clearly there's many advertisers who don't think that way yet. But I think that there's more and more that do.
Yeah, and Jed, you make a great point about the prep piece, and that kind of waterfalls us right into our next point. Point number six of 12 is about prep, because it's about the renewal side of the house. And Jed, you already opened it up when you said, hey, you know, it's the prep. It's the prep we do before a new presentation. It's the prep that we do if we're going to be meeting with former advertisers. Specific to renewals, we have a sort of a signature 18-step process behind the scenes, And if you, again, would like to see that, just pop a quick note to me, Ernest@powerhour.com. We'll send that to you, or just hit a reply to the confirmation and ask us about the 18 steps on the renewal side. And the part about this, it's all about the prep, Jed. And frankly, the world has gotten more complex. The prep that we do, we are working harder when we're selling advertising. But here's the great part. There's only a small percentage of us that understand that. The rest are just sort of going through the motions, looking to sell ads, and wondering why they're not making the progress they used to, because they are not doing the preparation. The renewal step is a key part of our winning sales strategies. Why? Because we have to obtain new biz and maintain existing bids. I have to say to all of you, there's nothing more discouraging than to sell 5 full pages this month and lose 5. Net gain, 0. And the loss of 5 advertisers, which means they're what? Former advertisers. Our goal is what? Keep what we have, renew what we have, and then grow those 5 pages. Those are net gains to the positive. There also is the opportunity in here, because there were some questions about this, the merchandising of your rate card. We've done entire hour-long programs, Jed and I together, about this. It's also part of our weekly academy, the real breaking down of how to merchandise your rate card, how you merchandise it across the length of agreement, how you merchandise it in the way you bundle print, e-newsletter, and website, the way that you merchandise the premium pages, which is one of the points we're going to talk about in just a few minutes about selling with scarcity. Your rate card is intended to be a sales tool. And for those of you as sales leaders, when it's correctly configured, then it leads the advertisers down into the path of what you most want them to do in the way that you configure it. So, Jed, we had a couple of questions on this one. What are some strategies to help business owners think about long-range advertising goals? Part of that directly relates to the way that you bundle it. Here's a starting point. When I see a rate card that has a 1X, a one time, it's like, well, that doesn't work. We're out in the marketplace saying that's even an option? Really? How about 3, 6, and 12? How about 4, 8, and 12? Okay, that projects a longer term. And you also have them thinking longer term when you show them an entire year-long campaign, when you talk to them about seasonal adjustments based on the market or the readers. When you show them the value of long-term, because there are also savings in the way you've merchandised and bundled your rate cards, you get what you want when you set your rate card and your selling structure in that way. So I loved that particular question. Also, there was another question. What about the strategy of not requiring a commitment, i.e. let advertisers advertise when they want to? Not a big fan. Not even close. Couple of comments about that. Number one, frankly, every 30 days, your entire publication or ads could be emptied out, which means your commissions could be emptied out. Number two, you can't do any short, medium, or long-term budgeting and forecasting, including print runs, compensation, website, trade show, all the things, healthcare, telephone lines, office leases. You can't forecast that off of buy when you want, come as you go, and leave when you want. We need a structure. We want a structure. But it means our presentation must be packed with value, and we must be presenting our USP in a way that it's so compelling that that advertiser is jumping over the desk to say, I want in. I need in. But if you don't have that enthusiasm, then you find yourself struggling to get a 12-month campaign. Jed, observations on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, your last point I thought was excellent, and that is, you know, you got to give some value, and that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, price breaks, although, you know, that certainly helps, but it you know, really what it means is you have to be able to explain to an advertiser why, you know, 4, 8, 12 insertions is in their best interest, you know, and what it's going to get for them. You know, it's not really, you know, it shouldn't be about, you know, your convenience. It should be because ultimately it's going to work better for them, you know. And a lot of times when I talk to print representatives, you know, they have these sort of somewhat arbitrary breakdowns of what the insertion schedule should be, and you know, and that's great, but I would be much more of a believer if I was given some some information, like, for example, you know, advertisers that you know, that go in 8 insertions tend to get, you know, 10% more response than advertisers who go in less than 6, or, you know, it could be anything. But that kind of information is going to, as a, you know, as someone dealing with advertisers as well as publications, is going to make me want to, you know, want to engage in that sort of a long-term strategy much more than anything else, because in the absence of that, in the absence of any sort of really good kind of strategic reason why more advertising is going to ultimately suit me, then it just comes down to a price game. You know, how much of a discount should I get for 4 insertions? How much should a discount should I get for 8? How much should I get for 12? You know, what if I do 24? Do I get even more? You know, then it just comes into a, you know, comes down to a, you know, an auction. And that's probably not what anyone wants.
Right, absolutely. And, Jed, you make a great point, you know, in terms of what we forecast is what we project. When I look at a rate card and I see 1X, 2X, 4X, I go, what? That's a campaign? No, that's not a campaign. There's no strategic thinking to that. How we position our rate cards, how we merchandise them all ties in. Let's move to our next point of 12, point number 7. And again, we realize that each of these and all of these could be standalone programs all by themselves. Our goal today is to give you 12 to sort of stir and spur your thinking. And along the way, some of these we have already covered, Jed and myself. You can come into Media Bids and listen to some. This sets the stage for what we're going to be doing upcoming. And for those of you that participate in our weekly academy, we cover these on a weekly basis. This is the stage that we're setting here as we go forward. Jed, let's talk about the top 10. Top 10 prospects. From where you're sitting right now, can you see on the wall right now your top 10 prospects? The ones that you, the whales out there, the ones that you want to secure, the ones that are spending the most in your competitors, the ones that are spending the most in other mediums that you want a piece of. And ask yourself, what have I done this month to move that forward? Did I invite them to an association event? Did I send them a ping related to LinkedIn? Did I share with them an article that I saw that I thought was interesting from the sector? Did I engage with them during the budget season? This time of year is budget season. We're setting the stage for an incredibly powerful upcoming year. What have you done every 30 days for the last 6 months related to those top 10? Because if you believe that they will advertise with you, then you have to take the steps every 30 days to have a specific strategy to go after those. And you want to plan every single month as you go forward, as you're looking into the next year. This is your opportunity. They come in large. And once you start to get one or two, the next 2, 3, 4, 5 are like dominoes. Once you have it 5 or 6 or 7, the next 10 or 20 are that much easier. Okay? If you ever want to see that in living action, Jed, I love pulling the bridal magazines, you know, off the newsstands. They're like a phone book, you know, 8,000 pages deep. You need 3 hands to pull them off. Look at the first 60 pages. They're all sold. Gone. You can't even get to the table of contents because you've got all the premium ads that are in the front. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
So our top 10 largest. Point number 8. I touched on this a little earlier. Selling with scarcity. What do you do to market? We talked about merchandising a rate card. The principle of selling with scarcity is one of our signature power hour strategies. How many advertisers can be on page 2? 1. How about page 3? 1. How many advertisers can be in your print publication? 50, 100, 200, 300. How many can be in your e-newsletter? 4? 3 maybe? That's a lot of scarcity, but you've got to position it as a premium. How about the prime placement within your website? And we've heard some say, yeah, but by the time it rotates through, when we got the big box on our leaderboard and, you know, there's 526 positions. We're like, no, hang on. Let's make it 10 positions. Let's tighten it to 5. What happens? We're utilizing the model of scarcity. And once again, you've got advertisers jumping through the hoops. Jed, we had an academy on this in the, 30 days ago, and the conversation was something like this. Hey, Mary, I'm calling you up because we're working on some of these prime positions, and listen, there's a waiting list on this one until next June. Over here, we've got six other companies on this one, but I am calling you because this one opened up. Okay,
right.
That creates urgency, and we're no longer selling on our heels, but we're up on our toes saying to advertisers, we are a hot commodity, and you want to be part of our opportunity. You know what I'm saying, Jed?
Right, absolutely. You know, and it really, you can even take it, you know, you can even take it a few steps further, you know, and start breaking down sort of the specific sections in your publication, whether it be sort of content-oriented sections or theme-oriented sections, whether it's, you know, for example, it could be something as generic as the weather, you know. You know, if it's a daily newspaper and it's the weather, you know, a certain type of person is looking at that every day. And you know, and it's surprising to me how few publications sort of offer that kind of placement in any sort of premium way. You know, we had an advertiser that expressed a desire, for example, to be on the obituary pages. And, you know, a lot of publications just couldn't guarantee that kind of placement. Which was a real sort of missed opportunity because this is an advertiser that's willing to, you know, pay top dollar to be there. You know, and so that's just one example, and obviously it's sort of two daily newspaper examples, but even, you know, even magazines have specific, specific sort of standardized content that runs every month. You know, it could be a sale that goes, you know, that sort of dovetails with something which is a recurring theme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so this piece about selling with scarcity is very important, but you have to set the mindset. You have to use exactly the correct language so that you don't alienate advertisers. You're going to be working with your biggest advertisers on one side to get them positioned, and then you're going to come around to your biggest prospects. It is an absolutely winning strategy. We have utilized it for more than 20 years within Power Hour and working with our clients. And Jed, going back to my corporate days, I learned about this, stumbled into it, and never let go, going, oh, this is nice. I got advertisers calling me because they want to know, you know, hey, who's on page two for 6 months from now? I got the hint. They figured out where the prime placements were, and they began to fight each other for that placement. It was a thing of beauty. Let's talk about point number nine. Point number nine relates to media comparisons. Again, another signature tool. I got tired in my early days of advertising having to explain over and over the differences in frequencies, the differences in our cost per thousand, the differences in our CIRC. I got tired of it, and I wasn't making an impact. Media comparisons are side-by-side opportunities to professionally explain the differences between what we do, what competitors do, what they do well, and what we do fantastically. We never roll competitors on the bus. That's never part of our strategy. Okay, but these side-by-side media comparisons, and I think since Jed and I began back in 2006 together, I think there's at least one or two opportunities to listen to an hour-long program like this specifically about media comparisons. So we want to encourage you to go listen to those, and you want to incorporate that as part of your strategy. They are absolute must-haves, and without them, frankly, it is nearly impossible today with the umpteen number of choices and solutions. If Jed, I'm sitting in front of a prospect and they talk about, you know, one of my print competitors, I pull out that side by side. If they talk about going in e-newsletter, I've got that side by side. Website, that side by side. I've got all of them at my fingertips. I might have 26 versions of my side by sides for each of those competitors.
Right.
Because it's my job to be the media expert in that space and that sector, and I want that ad agency or that ad buyer to go, man, you are prepared. And the answer is, yes, I am, and I'm here because I want your advertising. I'm a professional. I know what's happening in the space. I'm going to help guide you, and I want your business.
Right.
All right. Point number 10. 10 of 12 plus. There's one bonus one we'll finish up here with. E-newsletters. E-newsletters are an absolute for our readers. Most of you have those. most of you are deploying those and selling advertising, and you're using it in conjunction with your website and your print. If you ever look at the spike that your e-newsletters create, wink, wink, that's part of what your sales presentation and your media kit needs to be talking about. The power of e-newsletters, what it drives, the number of clicks, and the kind of measurable results, which we're going to come to in just a couple of minutes. But the e-newsletter that is most missing for advertising sales teams are the e-newsletters that go out to our advertisers and our prospects. We're missing that side of the marketing opportunities and the branding. So if there's one massive opportunity for you going into the upcoming year, it's this: a newsletter that is crafted specifically for advertisers and prospective advertisers, keeping them current on trends, resources, and tools. It is not, though, an e-blast that says, deadline on Tuesday, call us to buy an ad. If you do that, you have no shelf life. They're going to remove themselves. They're going to call that spam. You're going to have all kinds of problems. And if that's the only thing you're doing to advertisers or prospects, that's not what we're referring to here. So e-newsletters. Number 11, alliances. Alliances is a big one. Most recently, Jed, we were working with our ad groups on Tuesday, and we were talking about partnering with TV stations and radio stations. They talk about the power of print. They want and need our print. And there's some wonderful, depending on the sectors that you're in and the areas that you cover, there's some wonderful opportunities with that. We've also been talking about partnering with industry consultants and speakers and trainers because they're on the pulse and they're out there working with your very advertisers. They are a wonderful resource. We've also been doing a lot of work over the last couple of years with educational programs like this, audio, webinars, in person. These are all opportunities to position your media group as thought leaders. Instead of trying to keep coming through the front door to say, buy an ad, buy an ad, buy an ad, wouldn't it be nice if you were bringing the bees to your honey and you were coming through the back door and they were calling you to get invited to a webinar, or they were calling you to squeeze in two more people to something you're doing in person? Whatever that is, use education. Use education to bring your advertisers closer in to buy more. Use education to bring your prospects in. And there's a whole step-by-step related to this. It's very important, and it makes the selling of ads more fun, more productive, and your competitors won't know what hit them. Most in our sector, most ad sales reps are always looking to push through the front door. And when I began in 1988 in a sector, working in the real estate sector, the harder I pushed to the front door, the further and faster that sector ran. These were builders and developers and large, billion-dollar property owners. It didn't work. I learned to come through the back, and I learned to be a trusted resource, and it will serve you well. It's one of the big strategies that are here for us. Jed, we've been weaving in this piece about, our USP and our value add. Number 12 is just a reminder. On the back of a business card, all of you and each of you, what are the three most compelling reasons that you are best in class? One sentence, three bullets. What are the reasons? If you can't articulate it tight enough, then you don't have a USP and you don't have enough value add, and therefore you're not positioned well enough. And this was one of the most commonly asked questions, this whole piece about, how do we position ourselves so that we're a must-buy? It's really a challenge for those that are outselling advertising, correct?
Yeah, right. I mean, there's so many options.
More than ever, right? I mean, in all of our days and years being around this space, there's more options than ever before. There's more confusion or there's more chaos, isn't there?
Right. I mean, the possibilities are endless. I can't imagine how, when business owners had three or four advertising choices, 15 years ago, it was always sort of frustrating to see how those decisions were made about where to allocate advertising dollars. Now that there's 80 or 100 different choices, the decisions, I'm not sure that the logic has gotten any better, I think that it's, you know, it's become all the more sort of, you know, confusing to them.
Mm-hmm. And we as advertising sales professionals need to bring what? Calm to the chaos, right, Jed?
Right. You have to bring sort of a train of thought, right? A way of articulating your product against others that, you know, that resonates with these people. And, you know, for a lot of the advertisers we deal with, that's all about results. You know, it may not be that way in all cases, but, you know, we certainly find that that's, you know, that's sort of the train of thought that a lot of advertisers follow these days.
Yep, and Jed, that is right into the last of the points. We've covered 12 so far that we promised to cover. The 13th point, Jed, is you've said the words, right? The words are tracking and measuring. Tracking and measuring the response and results. Do you have designated phone numbers with your advertisers? Do you know within the restaurant sector, fine dining restaurants should average 30 calls? You know, sort of medium ticket, you know, restaurants might bring 80 calls. You know, what do you know about the call volume? What do you know about the e-newsletter clicks that are happening? What do you know about your website ads and the clicks and the forms that are being filled out? So therefore, when you look at the 18 steps to prepare the perfect renewal, what we talked about earlier, you're putting all those pieces together. It's like piecing together a movie set. Beginning, middle, and end. What are all those pieces? But if you don't have those, much like Jed was talking about, if you don't have those, then it's some version of spray and pray. That's all we ever did through the 80s. That's all we had. But I can tell all of you, by the 90s, without any of the tools today, we already were surveying advertisers. We already knew the statistical data of the difference between a quarter page, half page, full page, and a double truck. And we could show that. We stopped selling ad size and we started selling results. Hey, listen, how many leads or how many deals or how much activity do you want? Because here are the four options, quarter page, half, full, and double truck. And all of a sudden we were selling full pages and double trucks like no tomorrow because it mirrored what their lead needs were without any of the technology. And already knowing we're you know, going down the path with Jed on this, they live and breathe at MediaBids, the tracking, and have unbelievable stats and statistics about the kinds of results that ads bring. And the power of print, by the way, which it is unbelievably successful for advertisers, far greater than e-newsletters and far greater than websites. So even though we're bundling it, and even though we're talking about the symphony of all three, make no mistake, if I get Jed going, we're going to have about 6.5 hours here because he's going to tell you all the data. And he's done entire programs. Come into MediaBits. Go listen to Jed and come listen to Jed speak about what he knows and the stats that they see over tens of thousands of advertisers, over millions of inbound phone calls. It is profound. And I'm certain in the first quarter of next year we'll come around the bend. Each year, Jed, at least once or twice, gives us the benefit and the pleasure of hearing on that side. So, Jed, right, this piece called cost per lead, cost per deal, return on investment, that's what advertisers are talking about, right?
Right, and it doesn't mean that you have to charge them that way, but you're not doing yourself justice and you're not doing your publication justice if you're not tracking the results that are being generated by ads. You have to be able to walk into an advertiser and say, hey, you had a great week last week. You know, you got 45 phone calls. It completely changes the relationship, right? It's like, I mean, I'm trying to, you know, as you were talking, I was trying to think of, like, you know, a good comparison. And, you know, all I could think of was, you know, in the days before you had online banking, right, it was like, you know, waiting once a month for your bank statement to come to make sure that your checkbook was correct. I mean, it gives you such insight into how the ads are operating and what your readers are responding to and ultimately how your advertisers are doing that once you start doing it, you're going to wonder how you ever existed without it. And so few publications do it. And it's, you know, if there was, you know, if Ernest or I were emperor of print, right, we would probably require that all print ads have a unique phone number, if for no other reason than so that publications could get that data and use that data and sell to the advertisers that are generating the calls, but also sell to advertisers who are not currently advertising by using examples of ads and the results they're currently generating. So,
Jed, back in the middle 80s, and you've heard this before because I've shared it on occasion in our programs, and then we'll wrap up here for today. I got a phone call that just rang in my ears, mid 80s. I get call goes like this: Mr. Oriente, Cancun, from Cancun Carpets. My ad, no response. No response. I cancel. Boom.
Right.
I got that call. It was all 30 seconds. I happened to know him. We became friends. His carpet cleaning service was getting no results. Cancun, okay? I say that because those words burned in my ears. And I said, you know what? I don't like going into meetings that are blind. I don't like going in. Let's imagine for a minute that maybe, in fact, I had brought thousands of leads for his carpet cleaning service. But guess what? He wasn't going to tell me that. How many of you have ever gotten a phone call that said, you've done so well, we're sending you twice the invoice? We're going to pay it
no benefit. There's just no benefit for an advertiser to ever tell you that, even if
right?
it were true.
That's it. Even though if it were true. But today, with the ability to have dedicated tracking numbers, look, if you're selling ads into automotive, the apartment sector, realtors, home builders, attorneys, dentists, doctors, we can go on and on. These sectors, they all live and breathe with proprietary numbers. If they place 10 ads, they've got 10 unique numbers. Everything's being measured by the phone calls coming in, the length of calls, the type of calls. If you're not tracking, if you don't have those kinds of systems in, then frankly, you're selling like we did back in the 80s. Those days are gone. You are in the single greatest time in the history of advertising sales, but you have to lean into it. You have to understand it. You have to deploy and utilize it, and you will never, ever look back. Let's pause here. We covered 12 specific strategies. This tracking piece is a deal maker, a forever, a 10X strategy to move you forward. We hope all that we've covered here today has been helpful. We wanted to spur and stir your thinking. There's a wealth of resources that we've been sharing here during the course of these Media Bids programs. Come into Media Bids. Go learn more about what they do. Click on the space for the teleseminars. There's more than 60 hours of programs. And then if you want to boil it down in a more granular way, roll up your sleeves, come work with us on Tuesdays. We have a beautiful advertising sales academy, and we slow it way down. It's open mic, it's live, and we field your questions live, and we work through these strategies. It's wonderful. Jed, some closing words before we wrap up here today.
Well, thanks a lot to everyone who joined us, and thank you, Ernest, for another great teleseminar, and look forward to doing another one in the new year.
Beautiful, Jed. Thank you so much to all of you. Make it a fabulous day. We always start our programs on time, and we want to be equally respectful of your busy day. Thank you so much for being here with us. To learn more about Media Bids, go to mediabids.com. To learn more about Power Hour, come into powerhour.com. And we also have a fabulous group on LinkedIn called Advertising Sales Success. Come join us. We have about 2,700 leaders that interact on a daily basis there. Jed, make it a great day to all of you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks a lot.